Chapter 69. Henry V. and Napoleon III. Sunday, February 30th. We resume our quotations from the debates, which thus introduces a third pretender to the throne. Is this distracted country never to have peace? While on Friday we recorded the pretensions of a maniac to the great throne of France, while on Saturday we were compelled to register the culpable attempts of one whom we regard as a ruffian, murderer, swindler, forger, burglar, and common pickpocket, to gain over the allegiance of Frenchmen it is today our painful duty to announce a third invasion, yes, a third invasion. The wretched, superstitious, fanatic Duke of Bordeaux has landed at Nantes, and has summoned the Vendians and the Bretons, to mount the white cockade. Grand Duke, are we not happy under the tricolor? Do we not repose under the majestic shadow of the best of kings? Is there any name prouder than that of Frenchman? Any subject more happy than that of our sovereign? Does not the whole French family adore their father? Yes. Our lives, our hearts, our blood, our fortune, are at his disposal. It was not in vain that we raised, it is not the first time we have rallied round, the august throne of July. The unhappy Duke is most likely a prisoner by this time, and the martial court which shall be called upon to judge one infamous traitor and pretender, may at the same moment judge another. Away with both, let the ditch of Vincennes, which has been already fatal to his race, receive his body too, and with it the corpse of the other pretender. Thus will a great crime be wiped out of history, and the manes of a slaughtered martyr avenged. One word more. We hear that the Duke of Jenkins accompanies the descendant of Caroline of Naples. An English duke, intend his vows. An English duke, great heaven! And the princes of England still dancing in our royal halls. Where will the perfidy of Albion end? The king reviewed the 3rd and 4th battalions of police. The usual heart-rending cheers accompanied the monarch, who looked younger than ever we saw him, as young as when he faced the Austrian cannon at Vimy, and scattered their squadrons at Gemmoops. Rations of liquor, and crosses of the Legion of Honor, were distributed to all the men. The English princes quitted the Tuileries in 23 coaches and 4. They were not rewarded with crosses of the Legion of Honor. This is significant. The Dukes of Joinville and Nemours left the palace for the departments of the Loire and Upper Rhine, where they will take the command of the troops. The Joinville Regiment Cavalerie de la Marine is one of the finest in the service. Orders have been given to arrest the fanatic who calls himself Duke of Brittany, and who has been making some disturbances in the Pas de Calais. Anecdote of His Majesty. At the review of troops, police, yesterday, His Majesty, going up to one old grognard and pulling him by the ear, said, "Wilt thou have a cross or another ration of wine?" The old hero, smiling archly, answered, "Sire, a brave man can gain a cross any day of battle, but it is hard for him sometimes to get a drink of wine." We need not say that he had his drink, and the generous sovereign sent him the cross and ribbon too. On the next day, the government journals began to write in rather a despondent tone regarding the progress of the pretenders to the throne. In spite of their big talking, anxiety is clearly manifested, as appears from the following remarks of the debates. The courier from the Rhine department, says the debates, brings us the following astounding proclamation. Strasbourg, Scia, Nivis, Ducati, 92nd year of the Republic, one and indivisible. We, John Thomas Napoleon, by the constitutions of the Empire, Emperor of the French Republic, to our marshals, generals, officers, and soldiers, greeting. Soldiers, from the summit of the pyramids 40 centuries look down upon you. The sun of Austerlitz has risen once more. The guard dies, but never surrenders. My eagles, flying from steeple to steeple, never shall droop till they perch on the towers of Notre Dame. Soldiers, the child of your father has remained long in exile. I have seen the fields of Europe, where your laurels are now withering, and I have communed with the dead who repose beneath them. They ask, where are our children? Where is France? Europe no longer glitters with the shine of its triumphant bayonets, echoes no more with the shouts of its victorious cannon. Who could reply to such a question save with a blush? And does a blush become the cheeks of Frenchmen? No. Let us wipe from our faces that degrading mark of shame. Come, as of old, and rally round my eagles. You have been subject to fiddling prudence long enough. Come, worship now at the shrine of glory. You have been promised liberty, but you have had none. I will endow you with the true, the real freedom. When your ancestors burst over the Alps, were they not free? Yes, free to conquer. Let us imitate the example of those indomitable myriads, and, flinging a defiance to Europe, once more trample over her, march in triumph into her prostrate capitals, and bring her kings with her treasures at our feet. This is the liberty worthy of Frenchmen. Frenchmen, I promise you that the Rhine shall be restored to you, and that England shall rank no more among the nations. I will have a marine that shall drive her ships from the seas. A few of my brave regiments will do the rest. Henceforth, the traveler in that desert island shall ask, was it this wretched corner of the world that for 1,000 years defied Frenchmen? Frenchmen, up and rally! I have flung my banner to the breezes, 'tis surrounded by the faithful and the brave. Up, and let our motto be, liberty, equality, war all over the world. Napoleon III. The Marshal of the Empire, Pericot. ... Such is the proclamation. Such the hopes that a brutal-minded and bloody adventurer holds out to our country. War all over the world, ... is the cry of the savage demon, and the fiends who have rallied round him echo it in concert. We were not, it appears, correct in stating that a corporal's guard had been sufficient to seize upon the marauder when the first fire would have served to conclude his miserable life. But, like a hideous disease, the contagion has spread. The remedy must be dreadful. Woe to those on whom it will fall. His Royal Highness the Prince of Joinville, Admiral of France, has hastened, as we before stated, to the disturbed districts, and takes with him his Cavalerie de la Marine. It is hard to think that the blades of those chivalrous heroes must be buried in the bosoms of Frenchmen. But so be it. It is those monsters who have asked for blood, not we. It is those ruffians who have begun the quarrel, not we. We remain calm and hopeful, reposing under the protection of the dearest and best of sovereigns. The wretched pretender, who called himself Duke of Brittany, has been seized, according to our prophecy. He was brought before the Prefect of Police yesterday, and his insanity being proved beyond a doubt, he has been consigned to a strait waistcoat at Charenton. So may all incendiary enemies of our government be overcome. His Royal Highness the Duke of Nemours is gone into the Department of the Loire, where he will speedily put an end to the troubles in the disturbed districts of the Beausage and La Vendée. The foolish young prince, who has there raised his standard, is followed, we hear, by a small number of wretched persons, of whose massacre we expect every moment to receive the news. He too has issued his proclamation, and our readers will smile at its contents. We Henry, fifth of the name, King of France and Navarre, to all whom it may concern, greeting. After years of exile we have once more unfurled in France the banner of the lilies. Once more the white plume of Henry IV. Floats in the crest of his little son, petit fils, gallant nobles, worthy burgesses. Honest commons of my realm, I call upon you to rally round the oriflamme of France, and summon the banner Erebon of my kingdoms. To my faithful Bretons I need not appeal. The country of Du Guesclin has loyalty for an heirloom. To the rest of my subjects, my atheist misguided subjects, their father makes one last appeal. Come to me, my children. Your errors shall be forgiven. Our Holy Father, the Pope, shall intercede for you. He promised it when, before my departure on this expedition, I kissed his inviolable toe. Our afflicted country cries aloud for reforms. The infamous universities shall be abolished. Education shall no longer be permitted. A sacred and wholesome inquisition shall be established. My faithful nobles shall pay no more taxes. All the venerable institutions of our country shall be restored as they existed before 1788. Convents and monasteries again shall ornament our country, the calm nurseries of saints and holy women. Heresy shall be extirpated with paternal severity, and our country shall be free once more. His Majesty the King of Ireland, my August ally, has sent, under the command of His Royal Highness Prince Daniel, His Majesty's youngest son, an irresistible Irish brigade, to cooperate in the good work. His Grace the Lion of Judah, the canonized Patriarch of Tuam, blessed their green banner before they set forth. Henceforth may the lilies and the harp be ever twined together. Together we will make a crusade against the infidels of Albion, and raise their heretic domes to the ground. Let our cry be, Vive la France! Down with England! Montjoy Saint Denis! By the King! The Secretary of State and Grand Inquisitor! La Rowe! The Marshal of France! Pomander de Lail de Pigeon! The General Commander-in-Chief of the Irish Brigade in the service of His Most Christian Majesty. Daniel, Prince of Ballybunion. Henry. His Majesty reviewed the admirable police force, and held a council of ministers in the afternoon. Measures were concerted for the instant putting down of the disturbances in the departments of the Rhine and Loire, and it is arranged that on the capture of the pretenders, they shall be lodged in separate cells in the prison of the Luxembourg. The apartments are already prepared, and the officers at their posts. The grand banquet that was to be given at the palace today to the diplomatic body has been put off, all the ambassadors being attacked with illness, which compels them to stay at home. The ambassadors dispatched couriers to their various governments. His Majesty the King of the Belgians left the Palace of the Tuileries. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.